We have a little fun today. That's the idea behind the thing. And because Kartik season just ended, and this has a little history, it has a little leela. I hope that you like it, that it inspires you in Krishna consciousness. Okay, Namo Om, just shanti shanti. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhukti Vedanta Swamini Dhanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvasesha Sunnivadi Paskachada Satarani Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadada Shivasari Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this is going on by the mercy of Archita Prabhu. And I guess I'll just say next. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right, fantastico. Well, that speaks for itself. So next. This is a... Govardhan Hill is known as Haridas of Aryadas. It's the best of the servants of Krishna, of Hari. Next. This is a panoramic view. This is as the Devas, because the Vaishnavas don't... We don't walk on Govardhan Hill. We wouldn't want to put our feet. Prabhupada said that Prabhu, we use this word Prabhu. Prabhupada says, Prabhu, come shine my shoes. That's not what it means. So whether Govardhan is a devotee, we offer our respects, or as his manifestation as the Supreme Lord, either way, no feet on the head. Yes? That is, yes, definitely. Modern technology. It's a drone shot, yeah. But it gives you an idea. It's a view we never see. Okay, next. Now, Radharani asked Krishna to create a special place. You know, Krishna's Madan Mohan and Radharani's Madan Mohan Mohini. So she asks, and Krishna's enthusiastic to deliver. So she asked for a special place for their pastimes. And Krishna manifests Govardhan Hill from his heart. That comes from Rupa Goswami. So Govardhan Hill is actually a manifestation of Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani when she asks for a special pastime place. Next. As Prabhupada says, that Govardhan Hill is Krishna's gift to Srimati Radharani. Next. Radharani was not happy. You know, Krishna's descending. Yuge, he comes to this world, Pritanaya Sadhanam, Vinasaya Chaduskritam. Krishna comes periodically on his own sweet will. So he said, Radharani, please come. She said, I'm not going if there's not Vrindavan and there's not Govardhan Hill. So Govardhan Hill appeared as the son of the king of the Himalayas. You know this pastime, but there's going to be something interesting. So, of course, the pastime is that Pulastha Muni, he was had a very nice ashram, nice river, fruit trees, everything was auspicious. Only thing missing, it was flat. And a little variety, a little topography. So he wanted a nice hill to make his ashram just perfect. So he went to the king of the Himalayas and he asked, can I take your son Govardhan? So Govardhan didn't really want to go, but... because it was the sage had asked, just like Dasarath and, you know, when Vishwamitra asked for his sons, what can he do? He has to do it. So but he made a condition. Anyone know the condition? If you put me down, wherever you put me down, I stay. So Pulastha Muni said, no problem. He's carrying Govardhan Hill. We can understand it's Leela. He's flying with Govardhan Hill, such a powerful yogi, yet he became overwhelmed by the call of nature. He stopped to pass water. He put the hill down for a minute, did his business, and Govardhan wouldn't leave because it just happened. Just as he was flying over Vrindavan, it's all Krishna's arrangement. He's such a powerful yogi, like Maharaj Parikshit, being overwhelmed by hunger and overwhelmed by thirst, and then, you know, that pastime is there with a curse by the Brahmin. So same kind of thing. So he put Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill wouldn't move. So he cursed Govardhan Hill to shrink the size of one mustard seed a day. Now, some of you may remember Sataputta Prabhu, one of the founding members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, smartest man I ever met, double PhD, so many things. just a wonderful person. He was living in San Diego for a few years. One day, I happened to go into the kitchen of the San Diego temple, and he had this line of brown mustard seeds, and he was measuring it. You know, Sariputta, one of his PhDs is in statistics, so he figured, okay, one mustard seed. He figured how many mustard seeds, I think it was about 10 or 12, it takes to make an inch. So he calculated, you know, and then he calculated, okay, we know how long, roughly 5,000 years ago, so you can calculate how many inches, how much mustard seed. He figured the whole thing out. And his calculation was that Govardhan Hill must have been about 15 miles tall. So that's Sariputta's analysis. So Govardhan Hill is shrinking, cursed by Pulastha Muni to shrink one mustard seed day. And you can see in this picture how it's sinking. But there's more to the story. Next. How could a rishi have the power to curse Govardhan Hill, the best of a devotees? We know we've got Ambarish Maharaj and Devarsa Muni. How can even the greatest of mystics, how can he curse a devotee? Rupa Goswami, the internal reason Govardhan Hill is shrinking, a mustard seed a day, is out of separation for Krishna. So next. Oh, that's interesting. Next. And so it starts.
Yeah, sometimes the connection is a little slow.
Oh, Govinda.
There you go. You want the next one now?
So now we're okay? Yeah, the world's full of surprises. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. It's just the nature of this place, you know? So, all of us, when we were young children, especially young boys, you know, the parents are there, the elders are there, the teachers are there, you've all got to be circumspect, you know, there you get it, you know, it's described that when Krishna leaves, you know, you've seen those pictures of Mother Yasoda dressing Krishna, and the cowherd boys are leaning in, and they're suggesting, oh, put this necklace, oh, put a lotus flower here, oh, do this, you know, so they're all dressing, and Krishna's tapping with a flute, no, I don't want those ankle bells, I want those, so they're all dressing Krishna, it's a joint effort. So they get Krishna dressed, and he's going off to the field with his cowherd boys. And again, this is by Jiva Goswami. He describes how Krishna will make it a little bit towards the edge of the village of Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda say, wait. And she'll come and she'll fix his turban a little bit and add another pearl. He'll get a little further. Wait. She'll come and she'll tie his bow and, you know, wait. So, you know, and finally says, Mata, enough. So finally, all the gopis, Mother Yasoda, they let him go. And you know that feeling when you're a kid, you know, that there's no parents around and just, wahoo, off you go, you know. So here's the cowherd boys, they're leaving Vrindavan, off to Vrindavan to play on Govardhan Hill. Prabhupada said that Vrindavan is like a lotus and it expands and contracts. When Krishna wants to take a long time to get to Govardhan Hill, Vrindavan will expand. When he wants to get back quickly, it will contract. So it's expanding and contracting like a lotus, opening and closing in the daytime and nighttime. It's a mystical place, obviously. Next. So Govardhan Hill serves Krishna and the cowherd boys. It's their playground. It's described that there's nice trees, there's lakes, there's branches over kuns, so they have diving boards. The stones are cold in the winter time. In the summer they're cooling, in the winter they're warming. There's all kinds of streams. Sometimes there are even warm beverages. You know, if it's cold. Prabhupada said, in the old temple room, when Prabhupada was reading Krishna book to us, it had just come. Prabhupada said it can be daytime and nighttime simultaneously in Vrindavan. Wrap your mind around that, my friends. So, next. This is, of course, Krishna snatching Madhu Mangal's lunch bag. They're playing keep away, tag, so many different things. Next. This is from the Bhagavatam. It says, Govardhan Hill supplies all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. Next. Here's a picture of one of the caves. Rupa Goswami had a cave that he used to stay in at the end of Govardhan, tip of Govardhan Hill. So the stones are cool in the summer and warm in the winter. So that's one of the many caves of Govardhan. Next. What's up? Oh, next, Prabhu. Can you hear me? Oh, such is life. You know, happiness in this world, while we're waiting, a little purport. Let's see what we can get going here. Happiness in this world, when you really think about it, it's people are settling. So they're settling for things. Well, it could be worse. Not so bad. And if you think about it, you know, language is an expression of the experience of the people. Always dark is before the dawn. Got to take the bitter with the sweet. Every cloud has a silver lining. So that's really happiness in this world. Well, it's not as bad. Could be worse. And the other way that they measure happiness, let me know when it goes. The other way they measure happiness is for one small moment. Like they have a day at the beach. They're off from work. Why do they say, thank God it's Friday? You see that saying, thanks God? Because they're working at a job that is boring, mind-numbing. I think there's a jinx. Is there a Bermuda Triangle that's local? Anyway, the other type of happiness is that for one moment there's a little bit of relief. I have a day at the beach. No one's giving me a hard time. I have a few days. Archita, do we give up? This is extremely frustrating. It sure breaks the mood. Do we have a screen and a projector? This just sucks. Anyone have a suggestion? But it doesn't mean anything without the pictures. The pictures are the whole life of it. This just, do you have an old screen? Do you have a old fashioned?
Yes, I have a picture.
Who said something?
Go ahead.
But do we have a projector?
Go ahead.
Well, let's see what happens. No. I mean, it's not your fault. It's just.
No, that was your next slide.
Alrighty, let's see what happens. Okay, so obviously you know the story. Prabhupada says we should know what we're doing next. Because I got to make up some time here. I love this picture. It gives you a feeling of what it must have been like. The wrath of Indra. Prabhupada says that mountains and thunderbolts are natural enemies. They're always clashing. And usually the thunderbolt wins. It smashes the mountain. So Prabhupada says, but in this case, when there was the Govardhan Hill as the mountain, Indra's thunderbolts, we know that the mountain won. So Prabhupada said that even we're in, just like the Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, completely outnumbered, they were successful. By the grace of the devotees, by the grace of Krishna, devotees are victorious. Next. Okay. Lifting Govardhan Hill with little finger. Oh, you expect me to believe this? It's just, and anyone know, not only was his left hand, little finger, completely weak. What is it? What is the argument that Prabhupada gives many, many times? Did you say that God, he's lifting a hill? How is it possible? Anyone want to counter that? What? He's Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's floating. Unlimited planets are floating in the sky. So what is it to float one hill? How can God be? What is something that we see almost every day, especially in Southern California, that is both localized and all-pervasive, that has a form and is present everywhere? Because we're saying that Krishna is simultaneously, you know, was it Brahmaniti, Paramaniti, Bhagavaniti, Shabyate? That Krishna is inside every atom, he's inside everyone's heart, and at the same time he has his place, Goloka. You expect me to believe that? What is something we see every day? Sun. You can point to it. It's localized, and yet it's all pervasive. and you're telling me that the creator of unlimited suns, which are localized and all-pervasive and sustain all life, the sun, that the creator of that can't do what one of his, just a minor creation, can do. Show me the seamless logic of that. The creation, the object that he created can do it, certainly he can do it. So that Krishna can float up, you know, pick up a Govardhan hill, what's the big deal? Next. Now, you have to think about it. This is if it's pouring rain and the water flows off the hill, there under the hill, wouldn't they be flooded? It's described that Seshanag, he coiled around like a moat all around them under the Govardhan hill so the water didn't get in. And Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra dried all the water off. So it's nice and dry and warm under Govardhan hill, no anxiety. Krishna takes care of his devotees. Next. Oh, one back. You know, Indra showed up. Thank you. Indra showed up just to make sure how things were going. Prabhupada said no bureaucracy. Indra came personally to see how the clouds and everything was going on. And when he saw that they were not victorious, the clouds were not defeating the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're all under the hill. Everything's warm. Everything's nice. Everyone's having a picnic. Great time. So he lifted his hand to throw his thunderbolt. And that was his plan. He could not even move his hand. Because the gopas afterwards said, you know, we saw Indra, but he just came and went. So he came to like nail the last nail in the coffin, saw that he was being completely defeated, went to throw a thunderbolt. He couldn't even lift his arm, but to speak of release the thunderbolt. And Prabhupada points out that Krishna's the ability in all things. Krishna says, you know, the ability in man. So, okay, next. Can't do a thing without Krishna. So you know that after Krishna put the govardhan, he said, I'm going to put the hill down. Told the inhabitants, okay, Indra's gone, been defeated, couldn't even throw his thunderbolt, he's leaving. So the Krishna says, okay, you can all go out from under the hill, we'll all put it down. And the coward boy said, no, you go, because we're actually holding it with our sticks. So just to give them a taste, they said, you go, we're holding it with our sticks. So Krishna just gave them a taste. And it knocked them all down flat. They were all knocked unconscious, knocked off their, where they felt just a pinch of the weight. This is the yoga maya of Vrindavan. They didn't all go into Govinda Madhipurusham, deep prayers, and they actually chastised Krishna. Hey, you should have given us more warning. What do you know? Like that. So this is a little bit of the Braj flavor. Next. So Anayor, give me more, give me more. Krishna's worshipped as Govardhan Hill, excuse me. Govardhan Hill is both worshipped as the greatest of devotees, and is also the Govardhan Hill is also worshipped as Krishna. So, a devotee asked Indra Dumna Maharaj this: how can Govardhan Hill be both the greatest of devotees, be a bhakta, and also be Krishna, bhakta vatsal? How is it possible? Can anyone think of another? How to say it? Without giving away the hint. I'll just say it. Who said that? Way to go, man. How was that Lord Chaitanya compared to this Govardhan Hill being both a devotee and not a? We know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship him. Sometimes he's in the mood of a devotee. Sometimes he's in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wasn't he was Lord Boar? He was Lord Nisringadev chasing so many different things. So we're dealing in the spirit. Prabhupada said you cannot squeeze everything in your tiny brain. Over here, Prabhupada was reading Krishna book to us with the temple room used to be over here. He would read, instead of Gita class, he'd read Krishna book. I don't want to get off. There's so many stories some other time. But one time Prabhupada was leaving. There was a side door and Prabhupada would come and then go upstairs. So Prabhupada turned to us. Everyone's just stunned. Prabhupada said, yes, if I told you everything, you would faint. So these things are going on. Something to look forward to. Next. Why shouldn't, if God is the Supreme Personality of God, the cause of all causes, shouldn't it completely blow our mind? The idea that, well, I don't understand. Who are you to understand? It should be mind-blowing. Okay, this is interesting enough. Some of you know, you've heard Chapan Bhog. So this is where the Chapan Bhog comes from, these 56 offerings. Because Mother Yasoda was an anxiety. Krishna had missed so many meals. So she made up for it by cooking these 56 offerings. But I just wanted to show this picture. This is the Hungarian farm, Krishna Valley. That's Radha Shama Sundar. This is Govardhan Puja. in Krishna Valley, Hungarian farm, Shivaram Marsh's direction. That's Radhashyama Sundar. Everything you see here, except for the rice and a few of the spices, were grown on their farm. The abundance of Mother Nature. Next. So this is Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. Nice, good size. It's a wonderful event. Next. Thanks, Archita. So, one of the essential principles of the Govardhan Leela, you know, every good story, not that Indra's a villain, but you know, every good story needs a hero and an anti-hero. You need suspense. You need so many things. That makes a good story. So one thing we learn is Indra's pride and the danger of pride. So after being completely defeated, there's a place called Sarabikunj. I think I have a picture of it, where Indra actually offered his prayers for forgiveness. So they have that saying, pride goes before fall. We have to be very careful in our devotional life. Next. You know, mundane pride, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his purports of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, he describes all the different anartas in the heart, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning the temple and all the anartas that were coming out. It's a great section. I try to read it at least once a year because it describes all the anartas and the effect they have on the heart. And one of them is pride. And you can just see, it's a huge burden. It leads to offenses. What do we have to be? Prabhupada says that we're proud over borrowed plumes. What are we actually proud? Everybody else with a brain, all of you, I accept, have taken birth to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. I know for myself, everybody else has already gone back to Godhead. I'm the dregs, we're the bottom of the barrel, Kali Yuga. Everybody else with a brain got out. What do we have to be proud about? They go on vacation, you see, you know, I saw the biggest, you know, the world's biggest ball of string, or I went to, you know, whatever, went to Las Vegas. What is it? It's nothing. Prabhupada said the demigods will not even come and pass urine on this planet. And we're proud of what? For a few minutes, we're, you know, not as stupid as the person next to us. So pride is a great burden. If we just accept that everything's going on by Krishna's grace, I'm his humble servant. Let me just try to, some siddhi, haritoshanam, that the measure of all perfection is Krishna pleased. And it's a huge relief. Okay, next. This is Sarabikunj. When you're going around Govardhan Hill, if you're a prideful person like me, definitely stop at Sarabikunj and offer prayers. Let me just become a humble Vaishnava. Next. Oh, now we're back to the weird world. Okay, thanks. Anyway, this is how the great souls see Govardhan Hill. Prabhupada said, when the Krishna Balaram temple opened, and before that he was leading up to it, he said because it's Raman Reti, which means the nice, pleasing sands, Prabhupada says every afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Krishna and the cowherd boys come through Raman Reti. They come through Raman. I mean, we're seeing cars and buildings and honking and, you know, whatever it is. But every afternoon, 3 o'clock, Krishna and the cowherd boys come through Raman Reti if you have the eyes to see. Next. Okay, next. All right. Now, I don't have my laser pointer, but you see a few parrots there? Even if you talk to Dinu Bandar, I remember when I first went to Vrindavan in 1973, and if you went out to Govardhan Hill or you went to Radhakund, there were red parrots, there were yellow parrots, there were blue parrots, and there were green parrots. Now all you see is the green parrots, and they're very blissful, but they used to be. And Prabhupada, actually, Rupa Goswami describes that Radharani, you talk about drone surveillance, you know how they're spying on each other. Radharani has her own fleet of parrots, and they're always scoping out, where's Krishna, where are the cowherd boys, what are they up to? Krishna also has his own fleet of parrots, and they're checking out where the gopis, because they're ambushing themselves. You know, there's, anyway, we'll talk about it. later on. But there's so many different pastimes. So they're all, you can imagine the scene, and they're all reporting back to Radharani. Krishna's here. He's planning on doing this. The coward boys are planning on ambushing you here and charging attacks. And then Radharani said, her parents will say, go this way. There's a whole transcendental lila of aerial surveillance via the parrots. This is life in Vrindavan. Next. So just, we're going to go quickly around the Parikram path. Just a few spots along the way. Next. When you're in Vrindavan, it is a place, Prabhupada said, for intense prayer. It's a place for whatever's burdening us in our heart, whatever we want to make advancement. Well, I'll tell that story later on if we have time. Let's go. Next. And of course, you're not alone. Here's some of the inhabitants. Little thieves. Next. Here's also on the left, these are some of the cows of Govardhan Hill. There's one of those rare blue deer. Sometimes you'll see them on the hill. Next. And there's so many places. We're only going to touch a few of these. So many different places. Govardhan Hill is just packed with lila. Next. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govardhan Hill, he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani embracing Krishna. So we know that picture. He's embracing one of the Shilas. He had a Shila that he used to carry, a small Govardhan Shila that was soaked in his tears. He would hold it to his head and cry tears. Later on, he gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami. Those are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, lotus feet. And just like we have Prabhupada's feet, these are Mahaprabhu's feet. Okay, next. So this is Kusum Sarovara. Kusum Sarovara means it's for flowers. And it's where Radharani, under the guy, full of ploys, to meet Krishna, but she had the surveillance of Jatila, her mother-in-law, so many different things. They would go to Govardhan Hill to pick flowers for worshipping Surya, the sun god. But it was a rendezvous spot, Kusum Sarovara. Next. It is also where Narada Muni took a dip, because to enter into the Raslila, Krishna is the only Purusha, everyone else is Prakriti. So Narada Muni needed to take the form of a gopi. So he took a dip into Kusum Sarovara and came out as a gopi, and that way he was able to observe the Raslila. Next. This is right near Kusum Sarovara, right in the corner. There's a place where Krishna, after Radharani and Krishna are sporting in the water, Krishna is combing Radharani's hair. But what's especially sweet is Radharani's holding a mirror. And while Krishna's brushing her hair, she's just meditating on Krishna's beautiful face. And what is Krishna doing? He's looking at the mirror at Radharani's face. So they're both meditating on each other's beautiful lotus faces. Next. This is Manasi Ganga. This is where there's a typo here. It's actually Vatsura. So the asura in the form of a calf. So after Krishna, you know, that calf mixed in with the cows, Krishna swung him around, killed him. So the gopa said, well, you killed a cow. We can't bathe with you. Krishna said, what do I do? He said, you got to bathe in the Ganga. So out of his own mind, the Ganga manifests. That's Manasi Ganga. We'll hear more about this in a minute. Next. Oh, let's back up and go forward, see if that does the job. Krishna's mercy. So also the residents of Vrindavan had heard about the glories of Mother Ganga. Garga Muni was describing, you know, different places of pilgrimage. Prabhupada said that when he was a boy, sometimes he would spend vacations at his relative's house outside Calcutta. Gives you a flavor of what cultured life is. What did they do in the evening? Everyone would gather at the temple. Some pandit would describe Ramayana or Mahabharata, some wonderful past. And Prabhupada said you would walk home after you go to the temple, you'd have darshan, you hear this wonderful Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, take some prasadam, you'd go home, and you'd have all that in your head when you went to sleep. Now, what are they, they're watching whatever it is on cable, some ghastly thing. No wonder they don't rest at night, they don't rest during the day. No wonder they're half crazed. So the residents of Vrindavan said, well, let's go to Ganges. Krishna never wants to leave Vrindavan. He said, you don't need to leave. Ganga's right here, Manasi Ganga. They didn't believe him. You know, this Krishna is pretty tricky, actually. So Mother Ganga came right out of Manasi Ganga in her form, riding on a crocodile, so that it was confirmed that, yes, this is actually Manasi Ganga is the Ganga. Next. There's a place, there's a bhajan kutir of Sanatana Goswami at Manasi Ganga. And it used to be Shiva's place. Lord Shiva used to meditate there, and probably still does. But that's where he gave it to Sanatana Goswami with great honor, that Sanatana Goswami was going to use his place for meditation. So, but it was full of mosquitoes. So Sanatana Goswami was going to leave. Couldn't tell you what to do. And Shiva appeared before him. Shiva and Parvati begged him to stay. And to this, no worry, we'll take care of the mosquitoes. So this day, if you go there, even in summertime, there's no mosquitoes. But what's even more blissful, the Goswamis used to exchange literature. Like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was the editor of the Hari Bhakti Vilas of Sanatana Goswami. He edited the Satsandarbhas. You know, they would, Jiva Goswami, they would edit each other's books. They would meet at Damodar, they would at Radha Damodar Temple. That's a whole other story. But they would exchange, you know, literature, and they were editing each other's books. So Rupa Goswami had written that Radharani's braid is like a beautiful black snake, just like our beautiful Rukmini Dwarka. She's got a nice black braid. So Sanatana Goswami had written that Radharani's braid down her back is like a beautiful black snake. Sanatana Goswami said, you know, she's delicate. She's, you know, and you've got a black snake on her back. I think this is Ras Bas. I don't think you should use this analogy. So Rupa Goswami dutifully took it out. Sometime later, I don't know the time length, sometime later, Rupa Goswami's there, Sanatana Goswami's meditating at Manasi Ganga. And across the kund, he sees a group of beautiful gopis. Actually, never seen them before in the village. And they were obviously, there was one absolutely stunning gopi in the middle. And they all came down and took a dip in Manasi Ganga, and when they got out, he saw there was a black snake crawling up the back of this center, you know, the center of those gopis, whoever was obviously the leader. There's a black snake going up her back. So, you know, he yells, snake, 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 from the other side of the kund. That lead gopi looked at him, laughed, and disappeared. Poof, gone. He ran back to Rupa Goswami, says, put it back in, she likes it. She likes that analogy. You put it back in, you know. So these are the activities of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. Next. Also at Manasi Ganga, Krishna disguises himself. You know, the gopis are always transiting here and there. They're going to Mathura, going wherever they're going to sell their milk products and sweets and things, you know. So they arrived at Manasi Ganga. It's quite large, actually. And the only boatman they could find was this lazy, tattered clothing boatman. He was the only one there. Because he was the only one there, you know, Lalita had to wake him up, knock his boat with a stick, you know. They had to beg him, please, please go across there. You know, nah. But finally they convinced him. He got out into the middle of Manasi Ganga and stopped, said, I'm too tired. I need some strength. I can't keep rowing. And then he started sampling all their milk sweets. He was eating his way through all their goods they were going to sell. And he got some energy back. He starts rowing again. It starts to rain, and his boat starts to leak. So the boat's sinking. He says, well, we've got to do something for ballast. They start throwing off. He says, you got to throw out all your milk sweets. The boat's going to sink. So they start throwing their milk sweets. Then he says, well, you got to throw all your jewelry. It weighs so much, they're throwing off their jewelry. Finally, he says, you got to throw off your clothing. He said, no, we want to solve the ballast problem. This is from Rupa Goswami. We'll throw you off the boat. That'll solve the problem, you know. So then he starts rocking the boat. And sweet Srimati Radharani, fearful the boat's going to sink, she embraces him to make herself stationary. She grabs onto the boatman so she won't fall over. When she grabs him, what does she find? Tucked in his belt. She finds Krishna's flute. So his guise was revealed, you know. And then, so next. So that I already said. Next. Back up and go forward. That seems to solve the problem. Well, try it one more time. Ah, very good. So here they're throwing off all their milk sweets. Next is their jewelry. They're taking off their earrings. Next is their clothing. They say, we'll throw you out. Next. So after it becomes revealed, they have wonderful boat pastimes sporting around. Next. A devotee on a morning walk here in Los Angeles, he asked Prabhupada, it was Nayanabaram, who's the same one who asked Prabhupada, instead of a flower, can we offer a sparkler? You know, a 4th of July sparkler at the RT? Prabhupada said, no, it should smell nicely. You know, not like gunpowder. So he asked Prabhupada, you hear on the walk, oh, Prabhupada, is there fog like this in the spiritual world? Oh, Prabhupada, is there snow in the spiritual world? Oh, Prabhupada, is there this? About 5 or 6 times, is there this? Prabhupada said, why so many questions? Just go there and find out. So let's go there and find out. Next. Oh, so this is also right by Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, where these pastimes took place. And they're still going on. They're eternally going on for those who have the eyes to see. The gopis were calling out in ecstasy of separation, Hari, Hari. And that Krishna appeared as the Haridev, that Didi Haridev. Next. This is a picture. Let's back up and go. Oh, this will do. This is a picture of the Haridev temple. It was built by Rajwan Bhagwan Singh. The kings in Jayapur. One day I'll give a class just about the kings of Jayapur and what great devotees they were. And you've got, so this is, I mean, this is just, once I start, I won't be able to stop. So this is the Haridev temple built by one of the great kings, the father of Man Singh. You know, Man Singh was one of the 9 jewels of Akbar. He was his military commander. He became a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he was the one with his army. You know, you have an army. If you don't keep them busy, they're going to get into trouble, conspiracy. They're going to get lazy. They're not going to be able to fight, or they're going to fight amongst themselves, or they'll, you know, try a revolt. So you got to keep an army busy. So what he did was that hit the Akbar's army under Man Singh. They were the prime laborers for building the Govindadev temple, the big Govindadev temple. There's a whole story. I'll give a class sometime about Govindadev. It's a whole blissful story. So this is his father built this Haridev. Next. This is our ISKCON temple. It was the palace of the Maharaja Bhartpur. So many great, you know, the powerful kings, they had places. They were devotees, many of them. And they'd have their places in Vrindavan. They'd go there for a spiritual retreat. So I saw this. This was just rubble. It literally, there was no roof. The walls were only about this high. All the plaster was gone. And Giriraj Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj managed to purchase it. It's right on the Parikram path. That's where we have our Govardhan retreats. So we owe a great debt to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj, who completely renovated this thing. Keshava Bharati was the Maharaj, was the actual on-site construction manager. It's a beautiful temple. Next. And when they were doing the construction, they found rare Krishna and Balaram Shilas. So there's the Krishna and Balaram Shilas found at that site on the Parikram path to Govardhan, around Govardhan. Next. As I was describing, Krishna would block the gopis. Sometimes the gopis would block the cowherd boys. One of the things Krishna would do is he would stop them and charge them a tax for what they were on their way to Mathura or wherever they're going to sell their milk sweets. He would charge a tax. The tax usually was that he would eat, and the cowherd boys would eat half their sweets, you know, cut into their profit, you know. And just to give you an idea, the repartee between the he said, you know, I'm the prince. Krishna blocks the path, sets up a scale. This is a scale, pan balance, for measuring. Okay, you know, here's what it weighs. Here's what you got to pay me, you know, just like they do. The gopis would say, well, so you can see right here. So they would joke back and forth. The gopis, he would say, I have the authority of Nanda Maharaj. They would say our Nanda Baba is very wise. He would never put a thief in, you know. It's described, Rupa Goswami says, that Krishna is famous as a thief. We know that. Makanchor, he steals butter. He steals the gopis' clothing. What else does he steal? Rupa Goswami says he steals everyone's heart. Krishna is a famous thief. Next. Oh, that we already described. Next. So this is the original Gopal Raj temple. This is the, you know, all the Gujaratis, so many Gujaratis, they have a picture of Sri Natchi. Prabhupada said, that's actually our deity. That was that deity was originally installed by Krishna's great grandson, Vrajanaba, right after Krishna's disappearance. Then for so many years, it was worshipped on top of Govardhan Hill. Later on, when Aurangzeb attacked Vrindavan, that just like Govinda Dev, Damodar, so many of the deities left. Also, Gopal Rai, that Madhavendrapuri's deity, was also taken. He's in Nathdwar. Now he's in Nathdwar. Yeah. But that Prabhupada said, that's our deity. We could bring lawsuit. Actually, Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada liked the way they're worshipping. So just a little, few sidelights about Sri Natchi. Next. Are we frozen? Oh, thank you. So this is Madhavendrapuri, who rediscovered Sri Natchi, Sri Gopal, and reinstalled him a little before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. We all know from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Next. This is where Madhavendrapuri actually discovered Gopal deity. Next. This is Nathdwar. This is Sri Natchi's temple in Nathdwar. They have a whole well, a deep well full of ghee. I was visiting there once. A train arrived, so many compartments. One of those compartments was completely full of tins of ghee. The only note was, from Sri Natchi to Sri Natchi. Some Gujarati businessman had prayed, you know, please make me successful, made a huge amount of money, and, you know, he bought from Sri Natchi a whole compartment full of ghee. They have a whole well full of ghee. We know the story that Mother Yasoda is worried about Krishna becoming a thief, becoming a juvenile delinquent because he was stealing and so many things. So she wanted to make the best sweets. Best sweets, you need the best milk. Best milk, you need the best grass. And what turns that grass? Krishna's mystic power. Feed your wife straw and see if she can make milk. But Krishna designs a cow. They take what's completely insignificant, and Prabhupada says, turn it into the miracle food for old men and babies, milk. So if you ever go to Nathdwar, please go. They have one wall, and they can trace the current cows. Like you go to those old Rajasthani palaces, and they can show their lineage all the way back to Bhardwaj Maharaj or whatever it is, you know. They have their lineage. Now we don't even know who our father or mother was half the time, you know. So, but in this particular case, they can actually trace the current cows in Nathdwar all the way back to Mother Yasoda's cows. So that's how well, and it's designed like a palace. It's designed like Nanda Maharaj's palace. It doesn't have a shikar, but it's a haveli. It's a palace. Okay, next. So Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis, they also had darshan of Sri. Because no one will walk, no Vaishnavas do not walk on Govardhan Hill. So there, you can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gopal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, I want to see the Gopal deity, but how will I ever see him? So Gopal, the deity, arranged that there was a rumor, oh, the Turkish soldiers are coming, they're going to attack your village. So they took him to Mathura. So for 1 month, imagine the event. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the Goswamis, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lochandas Goswami, they all went to Mathura and stayed for a month and engaged in all the festivals for Sri Natchi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also got to see him. So next. This is where Uddhava delivered Krishna's message to the gopis, you know, the ecstasy of separation. Next. It speaks for itself. Next, because I'm thinking of the time factor. This is Radhakund and Shamakund. The closest to us is Radhakund. On the other side is Shamakund. Next. Oh, let's try that back up and go forward. Yeah. Of course, it's the same thing. When Krishna killed the Ristasura, the gopis said, well, we won't play with you. You've got to be purified. Well, what to do? So being aware of Krishna's trick with Manasi Ganga, they thought they'd up the ante. They said, you've got to bathe in all 7 sacred rivers. And you have to bathe in them simultaneously. And we don't believe you, we have to see it. So it's described that Krishna, just with the stamp of his foot, all of a sudden Shamakund manifest. Have I got that right? Yeah, Shamakund manifest. And all the 7 holy rivers poured into them and Krishna bathed. So now Krishna said, they've got a beautiful kund. Let's sport, let's play in our kund. Shamakund. Gopi said, no. Now your kund is full of, you know, just like if you wash, the dirt comes off in the bathtub. All the sins are in the water. We're not going to play. We're not going to sport in that. We're going to make our own kund. So it's described that with their bangles and this and that. You know, and obviously Yoga Maya. The Radhakund manifest. So that's the origin of Radhakund and Shamakund. But I have a little more I want to share with you. So next. All right, let's try one more time. Okay, that I already described. So next. When Mahaprabhu left this world, so this is a little history how, well, I'll just say it. He was so heartbroken. He's our Rasika Guru, Raghunath Das Goswami. Could not function. Could not just, you know, I mean, you read sometimes when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave somewhere, separate from Sanatana Goswami or Rupa, they would pass out. In separation. We have a little flavor. If you have someone you haven't, just do a thought exercise for a moment. Think of someone that you're very close to and you haven't seen in a long time. And all of a sudden that person walks in the door. You know, they say your heart skips a beat. So take that emotion, multiply it to the nth degree, and you can understand a little flavor of the ecstasy of union and separation. So, out of separation, he went to Govardhan Hill. He was going to jump off and kill himself. End his life. Could not go forth. He was counseled by Rupa and Sanatan. You know, Sanatan also was thinking the same thing when he was covered with sores. So they counseled him, no. You have service to do. So they told him, you take shelter of Radhakund and Shamakund. All they were at that time was they were little pawns in rice fields, two rice paddies. Discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The original kunds, the original structure, the beautiful kunds, all that was gone. All there was just 2 small ponds and 2 rice paddies, discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, next. I think, well, anyway, we'll read it. Well, there's actually a time factor. So this is appraising the glories of Radhakund. Next, because I'm thinking of the time. Also, you can read in Upadeshamrita. You bathe once with these holy waters, once pure love for Krishna is fully aroused. Next. Here we go. So you can see it was only 2, just ponds and 2 rice paddies. And here we have Raghunath Das Goswami. It's described that tigers used to come and drink there also. And he was so oblivious to the externals, he didn't even notice. And he was sitting out in the blazing sun. So what happened? Next. It's described by Rupa Goswami that Srimati Radharani would come personally and hold her sari over him to give him shade from the sun. And Krishna would have, you know, you've got a cow, a stick for herding cows. Krishna would come. You see Krishna in the background there chasing away the cows, protecting Raghunath Das. Sanatana Goswami, you see him to the left there. Sanatana Goswami sees this scene. Did he say, oh, you're seeing Radha and Krishna. Oh, you've reached the apex of spiritual perfection. Anyone know what Sanatana Goswami did? Chastise him like anything. You're saying, like, oh, Hare Krishna, but we're praying to Krishna to please serve us. But Krishna, Hare Krishna means let me serve you. So they said, you're chanting the holy name, but you're taking service. Build yourself a bhajan kutir. So he built himself a little bhajan kutir so that Sanatana Goswami said, Radha and Krishna don't have to bother you. So next. So he was sitting there in his little kund, these little ponds. In his vision, he could see the whole thing. He was seeing pastimes, all these things are going on. But he was thinking, no one will come to this remote place. You know, if only there was a nice Parikram path and we could renovate it, so many people would come and get the benefit. We were seeing in Upadeshamrita all the benefit. They would get that great benefit. So he was thinking, if only, and then he thought, I'm doing it again. I'm asking Radha and Krishna to offer me some service so I can renovate the Kund. I'm a fool. Simultaneously. What's the next slide? This is up in Badrinath. There was a wealthy merchant was in Badrinath in the Himalayas. And he was going there to offer the deity a very large donation. Next. This is the town of Badrinath. It's in the shade of Nilakanta Mountain, you know, Lord Shiva's place, mystical Himalayas. Next. This is a picture. This is the Narnarayan Rishi. You know the stat. You can read in Bhagavatam. Actually, well, so when he went, this rich merchant, up in the Himalayas, simultaneous to Raghunath Das Goswami's prayer, which he then chastised himself for, I shouldn't take service from Radha and Krishna. The deity spoke to this merchant and said, I don't want that money. What you do is you take it all down and you go give it to Raghunath Das Goswami so he can renovate Radhakund. Okay, next. So he walked. This is a little Google Maps. It's about 400 miles from Badrinath. Everybody walked. There was no, whatever. So he walked. He appears before Raghunath Das Goswami, says the deity, Badravatsal at Badrinath, has told me to give this to you. Now, he'd been chastised by Sanatana Goswami. He wouldn't take it. He said, I won't take it. So the merchant turned around, walked all the way back to Badrinath. So the deity, the deity said, I'm not taking it. I don't want to see you again until Raghunath Das Goswami takes that money. So he turned around and walked all the way back for a second time. And at that, it said, please take it. Raghunath Das Goswami could understand that Krishna wants me to take it. So he took it. And actually, Jiva Goswami, if you go to the Vrindavan Institutes, you can see the deeds. Actually, Jiva Goswami kept the wills and the deeds for all the Goswamis and all of their land. Practical, you know. So there it is. Next. So here's the path. That's the Naranarayan and Vyasadeva offering prayers. That's the deity of Badravatsal at Badrinath. Next. This is just to say, this is in the 1930s, what Radhakund used to look like. When Govindadev, when they fled Aurangzeb, when they smuggled him out, the beautiful Govindadev deity, when they smuggled, Aurangzeb left guards in Vrindavan. Aurangzeb, Prabhupada said, Kamsa come again, the Mughal emperor. Well, I'll say it, and maybe we'll just end a little. Aurangzeb, the Mughal emperor, was visiting Mathura. He was educated. He knew astronomy, so many different things. On the roof of his palace, or wherever he was staying there in Mathura, he saw a low star, bright star on the horizon. He said, what star is it? I've never seen it before. They said, no, that's not a star. That is the Govindadev temple. On top of the seven stories Govindadev temple, like they used to do with old lighthouses, they actually had mirrors and a huge giwix, and they send out like a light from the top of the Govindadev temple. Aurangzeb was furious, and they told him, and your grandfather helped build that temple. Aurangzeb was so furious that his grandfather, who should have been a devout Muslim in his mind, had helped build a Hindu temple. The next day he sent his soldiers to attack the temple, to dismantle it. And you know the story there. There was one soldier in Aurangzeb's army who raced ahead that night and warned them, they're coming tomorrow. And that's how they didn't have time to get the deities out. They hid them. This is just a sample of Govindadev's Leela. Aurangzeb had a particular vendetta against Govinda, because Govindadev was the temple that his grandfather, heretic, you know, helping these Hindus. He's the one who built that temple. He had particularly vendetta. So they hid him. They hid Govindadev in a kund, because they didn't have time to do anything else. Aurangzeb, having missed, he said, well, they didn't have time to get out of Vrindavan. He's got to be hiding here somewhere in Vrindavan. He kept soldiers in Vrindavan waiting. When they try to move, we'll catch them. We'll catch the deity. Some of the other deities, he broke into pieces and they used as steps. Put the stone on top for walking into mosques. So you can imagine what he would have done with Govindadev if he'd gotten him. Shivaram Maharaj, one of the head mahants of the Govindadev temple at the time, in those days they had lanterns. You know, at night, they had a clay with slits in it, and you put cow dung and you put ghee lamps inside there, and it would act as a lantern, right? And that's how you would see your way around. I mean, they did it in the Middle Ages. They did it, you know, it's not a common thing. That was a common thing for seeing at night, to see your path. Shivaram, because how do they get the deity out? So they kept him secret. I don't know how long, but it was for some months. Govindadev was there in the Kund. Because they were watching. There were soldiers patrolling day and night. And he was asking for reports. Have you found him? Have you found Aurangzeb's assassin? So they took those lanterns at night. They plugged their noses with beeswax, wrapped it again with cloth. You know, maybe it's cold weather. I don't know. They got away with it. And in those lanterns, they filled them with opium. And they walked past the guards near the Govindadev temple where they were hit. And the guards all passed out. They put them all to sleep. They put them into an opium stupor. And in the few hours that they were knocked out, they brought Govindadev out and brought him to Radhakund. First they hit him in Radhakund. Because it was all, even this, it wasn't built. There was just a few things. It was all forests and trees. The road was very rough on the way out there. So that's some of the glories of Radhakund. That's where they hid Govindadev. So next. You'll notice that Radhakund is square and Shamakund is a regular shape. The reason is the night before they were going to start the construction, that rich merchant who donated the money for the Kund, he was also a businessman. He stayed on and oversaw the construction. So they were getting ready to start the construction the next day. The five Pandavas appeared and said, no, we've taken birth. Don't cut us down. We've taken birth around Shamakund so we can watch the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that's why it's shaped like that. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me, you've seen those pictures of Prabhupada in Vrindavan when they're going out, you know, Prabhupada took the devotees, I think it was 72, he took the devotees around. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me personally that they were there at Radhakund, Prabhupada's showing them, you know, around and things like that. There was a big tree, it's hot, you know, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj leaned against this tree. Prabhupada said, don't lean on that tree. Prabhupada said, he is a Maharashtra Brahmin who's taken birth there to shade the pilgrims. So, you know, everyone offered their respects, you know. So, okay, next. We don't know what's going on at these places. So here you see the shape of Radhakund and Shamakund. One's square, one's irregular because the Pandavas have taken birth there. And appeared to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, said, please don't cut us down. Next. I mean, we're just skimming along. We hear the radios. We see the trash. We see the hogs. There's a whole other thing happening here. So Radhakund is liquid prema, as described in the Upadeshamrita. Next. Again, Radhakund Shama. We're looking at Radhakund Shamakund is on the other side. And you'll see that median in between. That's the Sangam, where the two kunds actually meet. We all know what happened there. Next. Oh, well, we'll get there in a minute. So it's a little blurred up, but this is Raghunath Das Samadhi. You can go there, take darshan, prayer. Next. This is where Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Krishna Das Kaviraj. Raghunath Das Goswami was put under the charge of Sarup Damodar, and he was the personal assistant to Sarup Damodar. So he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many different all those different pastimes we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A lot of those, Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj made notes of his pastimes in short sutras. Raghunath Das wrote out whole pastimes. He wrote, you know, and those were all in his notebooks. And it's those notebooks. And Raghunath, Krishnadas Kaviraj is a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami gave those notebooks and his personal narrations. And that's one of the main sources that became the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here's where the Chaitanya Charitamrita was composed at Radhakund. Next. That I read. Okay, next. And we know Krishnadas Kaviraj, I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While writing, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. Prabhupada said he could only write an hour a day. That's all he could muster the strength to. And as soon as he finished Chaitanya Charitamrita, he left this world. Okay, next. I'll try to speed it up a bit. Speaks for itself. This is where Lord Chaitanya's Bhajan Kutir was. Next. Let's back up and go forward, see what happens. This is where Janavi, Lord Nityananda's consort, this is where she used to bathe. It's a nice enclosure. So she's got her privacy. Next. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir. And those are the shoes and the cane of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They all took time and meditated in Radhakund. Next. Now, here's the thing. So we should give up everything and we should go to Radhakund and get Siddha Pranali and learn that we're a peacock and stand in our copans. Meow, meow. Is that the purport of this class? The purport is, what did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tell Srila Prabhupada at that sangam, at the meeting place of the two kuns, the highest ecstasy of separation? What was the instruction? Did he whisper into Prabhupada's ear his Siddha Pranali, his Siddha Sarup? No. He said, you take the mercy of Vrindavan, you take the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and you take it to the suffering conditioned souls in the West. And that is how you will enter Vrindavan. You won't by sealing yourself off and thinking you're a peacock or a gopi or a flute or whatever that is. But by delivering the mercy of Srimati Radharani and the mood of Vrindavan, that is how you will enter Vrindavan. It's a very mystical event, this, giving that instruction. Next. Okay, next. I'm going to fast forward here. Okay, we're almost at the end. So everyone's looking for blessings. Everyone's always looking for a secret. Okay, next. Rupa Goswami says two things we can learn. The pure mood of unmotivated devotional service. One of the first books I got, just a completely spaced out college student, 17 years old, I got Prabhupada's Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And I remember writing in the introduction, Prabhupada says, most people are praying to God for bread. When it's our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, all that. It's their Mahavakyam. But they're praying for bread. Prabhupada said, okay, they're going to the right source. At least they're recognizing that Nitya Nityanam, Chaitanya is Chaitanam, everyone's depending on Krishna. Okay, fine. That's a good thing. But Prabhupada said, it's not really love of God, it's love of bread. And then Prabhupada points out, but what was Mother Yasoda thinking? She's thinking, if I don't feed my baby Krishna, he's going to get sick. He's going to get weak. So we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking how to feed Krishna. Whereas the others are thinking, oh God, please feed me. So that's one thing, the mood of pure, unmotivated devotion as sown by the Brajbasis. Next. Two things we can learn from this pastime. The other thing we learn from this Govardhan Leela and the Govardhan pastimes is service to the Lord and service to the devotees as exemplified by Govardhan Hill. We want to approach Krishna. Kanistas think that they can approach Krishna directly. Krishna is not cheap. What does Krishna say? One who thinks he's my devotee is not my devotee. But a devotee of my devotee, that person is my devotee. So this is the secret. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Das, das, anu, das. So you offer service to the Vaishnavas. That is the secret. You want a secret? Serve the Vaishnavas. Next. We're almost done. So here it is. So may Lord Giridhari give us all of his shelter. Next. And that's it. Thank you very much. A little meditation on Govardhan Hill. Hare Krishna.